Woo, GMAT. Yay.
Hello and welcome to episode 13 of the GMAT podcast.
Chang Pao Singwa Dai Chan Nippon. Translation. Welcome to my video about
GMAT. Today's episode is brought to you by Tiny Build, the independent developer and publisher. And we'll talk more about them later, as usual. Did you like
that? That always goes well. I really enjoy the, like, oh, there's so much to say already.
You were like, I'm getting a coffee. Go make an intro.
Yes. And that is by far the best you've ever done. You're really stepping up your game lately.
What's his name? What's the guy's name? I mean, he doesn't need advertisement, but I feel like he deserves it.
No, he doesn't. And I don't know whether you want to really involve yourself too much with him.
Oh.
He's got some sort of right-wing thing going on. Look, I don't know. I don't want to tar him with a brush that maybe he isn't actually tarred with, but that's the impression on the internet.
And
there's some weird right-wing affiliation that he's got.
What, like he's like friends with
Alex Jones?
Alex Jones, he's like friends with.
He's not
Alex
friends
Jones.
With Alex Jones. There was something that happened. He had a show for a while on, I think it was Adult Swim.
Him. And his name's Sam Hyde, by the way.
Yeah, that's it. And it was called MDE, Million Dollar Extreme. That's what it is. Yeah. And I don't know, people are going to be annoyed listening to this if they know about it, because I really am not up to speed. But they had some show and he said something racist, which is kind of his shtick. I don't know him, but from watching what he does, it seems to be ironically racist by just saying the most outlandish shit you can, but it's not really the climate for that at the moment. And he said
like very recent? This isn't like pulling up the Chappelle show from 8 years ago.
Oh, no. It's within the last couple of years, I think.
Oh, no.
And they took the show off. I don't know whether it was because of that or whether it was just low ratings, but...
Do you know what he said?
Yeah. And no, like, I don't know.
Oh, come on.
No, I don't. I would just say it.
I want you to say it.
Also, he makes jokes all the time referring to David Duke, who he's in the Klan, the Ku Klux Klan, or he's just some sort of white supremacist dude. And I think he just does it for shock value, but he's kind of been... Everyone sort of points to that stuff now as like, no, he's serious. So I don't know.
But is he serious?
I don't know. I don't have any reason to think that he is. Because all the stuff that I've seen is the stuff that you've seen. It's so stupidly goofy.
Exactly.
No one could take it seriously. And if you were a racist, that would... He does more to diminish your stance than help it. So that's why I don't think he's actually serious about any of that shit. Anyway.
There would have to be something of him saying... If no one's got a thing of him going in like an interview or something that isn't serious doing it, if they're just pulling it from his videos and from the stuff he is, that's his shtick.
I feel like it was probably a tweet or something, so you don't have the ridiculous tone of winking at the camera sort of stuff. So you can take it out of context and make it look really serious. But I don't know. I'd have to look into it more.
Can you hear Holly in the background?
I can. Wait, what is this episode 13?
This is episode 13, yeah.
Who was on 11?
It was you. You were on 11 and you were on 12. And then for whatever...
And so Holly is always around in the background and still hasn't done one.
No.
And she was supposed to do 11.
This is technically our second attempt at 13. Because of the
we're not going to
talk about that one. It was all right, actually. I listened back to it.
Wasn't that bad?
No, it wasn't. It was just...
Well, the thing is... It's only going to be about 20 minutes long if you take out that giant racial diatribe you went on in the middle.
Is that
why you like Sam Hyde so much?
No, because you did that thing where I said something and then you tried to make me look like a piece of shit. You know, that classic.
I was trying to help you out, but you just kept digging.
We're also really... The weird thing was that we were so flat. We were like...
Yeah, it was a weird vibe.
Yeah.
It was a weird vibe.
And we went into it really weird as well. Anyways, that happened.
Half cocked.
I think that's the first one I've just plain gotten rid of, because I was like, no bueno. Plus, I knew we had enough
into
juice.
The vault.
We had enough juice to do another one at some point, but I just didn't release a podcast last week.
Oh boy, are the fans scrambling? Both of them screaming on your page?
All six of them. Yeah, the podcast listener fan and the podcast listeners on the YouTube. Viewers are two very separate numbers. But you know, there's people there who were like, "Where's the podcast?" And I was like, "Ah, I don't know. I just don't."
Did anyone 100% honest? Did anyone actually ask where the podcast is?
100% honest, two people.
Oh my god!
Not including Luke, who asked me because he has my number and he's my friend.
Texted you.
Yeah, he's like,
"Hey man, big fan. Where's the podcast?"
No. He was just like, "No podcast this weekend," and I was like, "Nope." No, I had no excuse. It was just, yeah.
That's got to be heartening, knowing that your podcast appeals to both friend and stranger alike.
Well, I'm going to sound like a dickhead. I don't really care about my friends. I want more strangers. Because friends doesn't, there's nothing. You can release videos out for your friends and no one's going to fucking care.
They're listening because they're your friends. Not because it's good.
But if strangers are watching, it's like, it's a whole different thing.
Now, speaking of not caring of people close to you, is Holly ever going to do the podcast?
Well, it depends. She's just a little nervous, you know? She doesn't want to get on.
Why?
I don't know.
Just tell her there's already one in the bin from you and I. So if hers is bad, it's not going to be all on its own.
She's just walked up to the window and she's giving me the... I act like we live in some kind of a zoo because I'm always like, Holly's on the other side of the glass.
Looking at me. I've been to your house. It is kind of a zoo.
Hey, yay.
What?
Yay.
Well, true. Hang on, that...
true. There's a lot of animals in here.
Not just that. There's the two cats, and then there's just, I get the random Snapchats of you and Holly just running in circles around the lounge room.
That's because we moved all the furniture to make more room for running.
That's not a thing that normal adults do.
Well, you know what? True. I don't know what was going on then.
Why'd you move all the furniture? Was it?
I moved all the furniture to do the VR because I was like, I really want a space for this. And then
two adults with no supervision went, "Hey, let's run around in circles." And then I assume the other one went, "Hey, also film it and send it to all of our friends."
You got to keep it light, you know. How you know what happened this week?
What happened this week?
Smooth segue. GMAT turned 1 year old.
I saw the video. Yeah, that was a good video as well.
Was it?
Yeah.
I tossed and like I had that video from the 28th, and I didn't release it till I think the 30th or 31st because I just didn't know if I wanted to do a video with me in it, like physically, because not because I feel weird about being on camera, obviously not, because the PlayStation intro for the first 50 or 60 videos is me with my shirt off holding an iron, but it just didn't feel like my thing, my shtick. But I kind of just landed on it's a once off and it's to thank people and Holly was like, "Nah, put it up, it's funny." So but yeah, I felt good. Lots of love on that video. Lots of very kind comments.
Did you get any "what name this boy" or something like that?
No, it was all good. There was 97 comments on that video and they were all
triple figures.
75 likes, 0 dislikes. How's that? And they were all just
that was funny. It was tightly edited. There's a funny little gag with the iDubbbz thing.
Yeah.
I like that. Why, may I ask, please, was your jacket done up so high?
I don't know. I just kind of like it like that.
Because I know you in real life. I have your phone number and I can text you and ask where the podcast is anytime. That's how close we are.
Yeah.
And I've never seen you wear anything up to the chin.
Well, I'll have you know, the night I went to that party and I vomited and shit myself. I don't know if we talked about that in the podcast we scrapped or if that was an old one, but anyways.
I think that was the scrap podcast because that was all of the heinous material went into that one.
That's the whole bit. I went to a party. I got so drunk I shit myself. On the way home, by the way, no one knows that except for like Holly and the Uber driver. I was wearing that exact same jacket. It's just a cool jacket that you do up. It's just meant to go up that high. It's the style, you know?
Can wear it making a video or shitting yourself on the front lawn of someone's house.
I didn't
all-purpose jacket.
I didn't just go and like get dressed up for this video. I just turned the camera on, put it on a music stand because that's all I've got. My iPhone 6. I just did it. I didn't.
Okay.
That jacket wasn't. Stop making me subconscious about my jacket. You're embarrassing me.
You triggered.
GBAT's not really actually a year old.
My god, you liar.
I'll have you know.
You're just lying to try and get more subscribers and more Patreons, aren't you?
It's probably like 3 years old, really, because it was... that first forest video that we've got, I uploaded, I think, a year and a half after I'd uploaded 3 or 4 videos that I did way, way, way back. And they were awful. And I had some, like, some random website free desktop recording software, and we did with shitty audio and that sort of stuff. And I was just messing around. And then, like, a year and a half later, I was like, I'm going to give it a proper go. And I erased those 4 videos and started fresh. So that's when I really count it.
Yeah, fair enough. Though that was just beta testing, the other one.
Did you ever see any of those, like the gaming with girlfriend where we played Octodad and that sort of stuff? I feel like you might have come across
it. That does ring a bell. I think you might have shown me it once.
There was a GTA 5 video that was up on the page for ages. That was from that time period. And it stayed because it was all right, because it was recorded on the PS4 and the audio was good. I just kept it there. Yeah. But then after
ever spoken about with the channel how it blew up to the sort of where it is now? Because you had almost very little subscribers.
I had like 27.
Yeah, there you go. And now you're at nearly 9,000.
Yeah.
The watershed moment. Have you ever talked about that on the podcast?
I don't think so. But it's like...
About the big heist from the media conglomerates.
I was at 27 subscribers with, like... I would have had to have had at least 30 or 40 videos up, because that Guts and Glory video, which went viral, was out for a while. And then when it got some... I put it on Reddit or something, and then some page messaged me and said, oh, can we feature... Gamers on Board was the Facebook page that messaged me and said, can we put it on our page? And then it was like, from there, it was like the next 5 days was just, can we put this on our page? Can we put this on our page? Can we put this on our website? Can we put this on here? And I was like, yes, 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 yes. And then Uni Lad and Lad Bible and the real big ones. And that got me up... That only got me up to 4,500.
Oh, so, really? So it's just been a steady incline from there.
Yeah. So the other 5,000 or 4,000 has been
all natural.
The grind.
No steroids.
Yeah. Once it's sort of I get subscribers every day, which is nice.
But who were the dogs who took it? Got a bunch of views and all that sort of shit. And
they're all over the place. They don't really matter. There's pages like Unilad who asked, and they'll get like, I think they got like 25 million views on that.
Wow, really?
Yeah, and I've got like 100,000 on my channel. But they're all over this. Like, I think they were the highest one was like 26 million, and then there's, you know, 10 million, 12 million, 500,000.
But did all of them credit you?
Yeah, the majority did, but they do this fucking annoying thing that drives me crazy. The big pages won't credit you in the description of the video. They won't go, here's this video and check that thing. They'll pin it as the top comment.
Right.
Which is, what effect does it have on them to credit someone in the... If they're talking about like PewDiePie or someone, they'll put them in the title. But if they're talking about some small YouTuber who they've just stolen shit off of, not stolen, they asked, they'll put you in the... They'll pin you to the top of the comments. So people are only going to see that if they go to comment.
Right, yeah. If they just slap it in Facebook, have a quick look and keep scrolling, then they're not going to... Have any idea.
Or if it's like there, it says in that, like, right above the video, there's a like a highlighted GMAT and you click and it takes you to where you need to go. That'd be preferable. And it's really not that fucking difficult. But for whatever reason, big Facebook pages just refuse to do that.
Huh.
It's the same across the... And then there's like the smaller ones that have like 100,000 fans, and they'll do it. They'll put me in the description. But...
'Cause I knew that there was something that was irking you at the time where it wasn't going as well as it could have.
The thing that was irking me was the handful of groups that just took it and stole
it.
Right. And when they got like 1 million views but didn't credit me, and then I'd send them a message, I'd send them an email, and it would take them 4 or 5 days to respond. And by that time,
who cares?
It doesn't matter anymore. That post is 50 posts down and getting like, you know, a couple thousand views. I don't care if
how
I
long
get
had
25
you been doing it
million
at that
views.
Point?
Oh, it was, I think it was 7 months. That makes sense. Yeah, it was like... All right, it was either 7 months or 4 months. I don't know why those two numbers are in my head. But I want to say it was 7 months. It was 7 months since the first Forest video uploaded, when I started
it
again.
Do you get demonetized and shit because the channel's saucy?
No, I get demonetized because the word dying is in the title.
Oh, really?
The demonetization system is so fucking retarded. It's a bot system. So they'll like... I don't know what kind. I don't know what kind of intelligence it has. Where if it scans through the video and I don't know, sees blood or something. I don't think it's that intelligent. But it does look at the description of the video and the title of the video. All the Dying Light videos taken down straight away. It's like I upload it and it's gone. If it's a smart, if it's some sort of smart robot thing that scans through the video, it can't be that fucking fast. So it's just seeing dying and scanning through. And then other videos like PUBG or I don't know, some videos where you see some really terrible shit. Not PUBG. I can't think of any off the top of my head. Get green light and go through straight away. The forest, yeah, that gets put in straight away and doesn't get demonetized. It's a pain in the ass. So then you have to click a button for manual review, and then a human being comes and watches it. And nine times out of ten, I get the thumbs up and the green light. By that point, the 500 views that I'm going to get on the videos, realistically, have already been got, and that 50 cents I was going to make. Oh, so
they don't like retroactively go back and back pay you for it?
No, because they're not paying me. It's for the advertisements popping up on the page when the viewer watches it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, it's kind of working out to 1,000 views is a dollar. So,
okay.
If I upload a video,
I'm making bank.
Yeah, I'm making like 50 cents a video.
Red money.
Yeah. Plus the
I watched the Flight Simulator one.
So fucking good. You need to come around and play that.
I will.
Genuine.
I actually watching that, I was like, oh, do I get VR?
It's one
now
of
that I'm sitting at the helm of my brand new personal computer.
Your new GTX 1060 paper super computer. My personal computer.
Wow.
I don't play a lot of the ones where you sit down because I kind of want to be up and doing stuff. But if the game is you're meant to sit down, like you're sitting in a fucking car or you're in a whatever.
Yeah.
And they work really well. Sometimes they're the best ones. Like the roller coaster ones really fuck me up because it really, it feels like it. You can feel it because of what you're seeing.
What do you do with the forest? Because you walk around a lot in that.
Yeah.
So what is it? You just slap the button on the controller and it just starts walking forward or?
Yeah, there's the touchpad on the top. I don't like that. No, some games, not a lot of games just have that as an option. You can also do the teleporter thing, which is what I like
to do. I hate the teleporter thing. Really?
People don't like it. Because it's like you go into a spot, but I like the idea of going somewhere and then I can move around freely in my area with my actual human being feet. I don't like pushing forward on the touchpad and it goes and I'm standing still because it doesn't feel like the virtual reality I imagined when I was a child, you know? I don't mind going somewhere and then I've got that little area to work in and going somewhere else and got that little area to work in. That feels better for me than locomotion is what it's called, which is where you touch the touchpad in it.
Locomotion!
And also can make you feel a bit sick that you're moving, but you're not moving. But it's kind of split. There seems to be like a real 50-50 split between people going, locomotion is the best, and people going, teleporter is the best.
I figured you should just be able to do both.
You can. In most games, you can. But primarily, it's teleporting is what I always see as the default option in games. Okay. And it's like the cats and dogs argument. Where cat people like dogs and dog people hate cats. It's like people who do locomotion think teleporting is fucking disgusting and the worst thing in the world and you should kill yourself if you use it. And people who use teleporting are like, no, you can use locomotion if you want to. To each their own. It's like, aggressive.
I think my favorite gag that you've done was in the Flight Simulator one with the eject.
Yeah. No,
after
all right.
You crash it.
When I did the first eject, I can't remember who messaged me, but they're like, oh yeah, nice bit. And I was like, that wasn't a bit. I looked between my legs. I was like, what's that? And I pulled it up and it shot me. And that wasn't like, I'm going to do this bit where I fucking pretend I'm going to pull I pulled it and I got shot out of the plane. And
I could see why you did it. Because looking at it, all of your knowledge, if you'd have no idea about planes, is like the joystick sits between your legs and you steer with that, like in a chopper. And so you see that thing, you're like, oh yeah, well, here's the controls. And you just yank it and fly out of the roof.
You're giving me a lot of credit because I didn't see that and think, oh, that's the controls. I saw that and thought, what's that thing, Paul? I knew where the controls were. I knew where the thing to steer and I knew where the thing to accelerate were. I didn't know how to get the plane going, but I was just pressing stuff. And I was like, oh, I can pull that, pull it. And it felt very, it feels uncomfortable.
The post-crash one was my favorite. I had a solid gut laugh from that.
When I...
I knew what was going to happen as well, but it still made me laugh.
Which post-crash? The post-crash where I reached up and I...
When the thing is, it's telling you to eject. And you're all right, I know what does that. You reach up and grab the chair, just shoots away, and you're stuck there burning to death.
It was so dumb. I don't know why I did that. It's like, eject, eject, eject. And I'm like, okay. And the chair flies off.
I think it was the timing of, like, you woke up, you were sitting there, and it was telling you, like, what? It was so realistic of, like, you know, coming back into consciousness and trying to work out what's going on. Like, oh, yeah, okay. And the chair just, see you later, motherfucker.
And the chair went. There's a whole gun system in that game as well.
Is there?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that why you're trying to chase people down?
Yeah, but I hadn't unlocked that. There's like training you can do. Though I went and did some training so I could do gun stuff and I could learn how to land because I was struggling with that mission. So I was like, okay, I better do the training. And then there's like you've got rockets and you've got machine guns in that right hand where you're tilting the plane like a joystick. It's got a trigger on the back that you press and you're shooting. Yeah, it's fucking great.
Mm.
Yeah, it's very, very what's the word? There's a lot of buttons, there's a lot of switches.
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be a simulator, isn't it?
Exactly. And then once you've worked it out and you're in the air, and I played it for like 3 or 4 hours, and by the end of it I was like broke a chip, put that, yep, click that, pull that, yep. I was flying through the air. I was really serious. If Holly had come home and seen me like that, she'd have been like, what a fucking nerd. What a fucking stupid little loser.
You said that you watched Aiden do the tutorial.
Yeah. Yeah.
What, at your place, you watched him do it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He came around one evening.
Because he's not in any of this stuff, is he?
No. He was briefly in one of the streams, one of the Outlast streams. That's on the channel. Yeah. He shows up about halfway through with me and Ben and other Ben, with Benno. Benno plays. And and just chats for a bit. And also he was on that stream we did the other day that didn't go up anywhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. I forgot we were streaming that.
Yeah. I think I'm going to stream to Twitch from now on.
Where do you usually stream? To YouTube?
Yeah, stream straight to YouTube. But for whatever reason, on I have a Twitch account. And every now and then I get a notification, you got a new follower on Twitch. And I'm like, oh, I feel bad because I don't upload anything to Twitch. I don't stream on Twitch. So I might as well keep Twitch as the streaming platform and YouTube as the video platform, even if I don't get that many viewers. I get more viewers for live streaming on YouTube, but I don't like live streaming on YouTube.
It's, why not?
It doesn't run as good as Twitch. It seems to drop out and all that sort of stuff a lot more. And if there's a platform for streaming, why not use it?
Yeah, they seem to do pretty well with it, considering it's all it does is stream and everyone seems to be on it.
Yeah.
If you could use YouTube as the one-stop shop and it did it just as well, I could see people doing that, but having to go through Twitch and do the whole thing all on that website just for the streaming, it must be doing something right.
Mm. And you can, and it automatically uploads your streams to Twitch and they stay there for however long. So then I can, and then I've just got another bank of content that can just sort of be available to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm going to do that from now on, or just test it out for a little while and see how many viewers I get. Cause I've only got like 101 followers on Twitch or something.
Well, you heard it here first, folks.
Go to Twitch. Go to twitch.tv/TheRealGMAT, probably. Something like that, I'm sure. I don't know what it is.
But you could get people the same way you do on YouTube streaming. You'll just get randoms coming up and seeing whatever game it is that you're playing live now.
Yeah, true.
Is it just because you're not going to get the 8,000 people who are subscribed getting notifications that you're streaming? That's what your worry is?
No, it's because when you're streaming and you're streaming to two people, it can feel a little crap,
yeah.
Which is a better word for it. But like, you want to be like, "Hey, everybody, welcome to the stream." You know, what are you guys up to tonight? You want to be talking to a handful of people. Not, the difference between five people and two people is insane. When you're just having a few more people to be there and be talking to instead of two or, you know, God forbid, one other person who's watching, which at the end of the day is probably Luke or someone, you know, and then I'm just talking to my buddy Luke. I'm not talking to fans and that. So when I get on YouTube, I end up with 20 or 30 viewers, you know, or 10, somewhere between 10 and 30.
Not the night that we did it. They were very disappointed with Battlefield.
We got up to like 16 or 17 at one point, people watching. Uh-huh. But over on Twitch, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
I just got to change my approach from, "Hey, everybody," to, "I'm just playing this game and I'm chatting."
Yeah. Well, I mean, it eventually becomes that anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, true. And it's when I'm playing with other people, so much easier because it's less about talking to the fans and about us talking to each other and they're there to see that.
I'd never done one before. I thought it was fun having the comments there. Yeah. So you just talk shit, play a game. Like, there's never really any dead air because you've got three things going. You've got the game for everyone to watch. Then you've got the talk between whoever is playing together. And then you can respond to the comments. So it's it kind of the content takes care of itself, really.
Yeah. Next time we play PUBG, I'll stream it to the Twitch and see and just in the background. I won't pay attention to the comments or anything, but just see how it goes. And then it'll go up and we probably won't get any viewers, but then I can see how I can see how good it runs.
Have you got a second monitor?
I do now. Woo! I got a monitor. I went and bought this $100 tiny little monitor, like as small as you can think, which is so good to have next to my. And that's where I've got this. I got this new recording software, so I can see the levels, make sure our audio is at the same fucking level.
Why can't you just have it on your main screen?
Well, because my main screen is filled up. When I'm doing the stream, I've got the soundboard going. I've got the remind me to do something after this. I've got the
I wonder what it'll be.
I've got the ads to read, and I've got
of course, yeah, okay.
And I've got Discord, and so it's having it all up there. I want to be able to adjust levels while I'm doing it and have that on the other screen. Speaking of things I should have done, we'd like to remind you that this episode of the GMAT podcast is brought to you by the independent developer and publisher Tiny Build, who made games like Hello Neighbor, Speedrunners, Cluster Truck, Guts and Glory, Party Hard, and Punch Club. Make sure to sign up for alpha testing of their new game, Secret Neighbor. For more information, follow at Tiny Build on Twitter and visit tinybuild.com. Thank you, Tiny Build, for supporting this episode of the GMAT podcast.
We have a clip of the Neighbor game, don't we, Matt?
You've really run this gag into the ground.
It's not a gag. Play the clip.
Okay. Let me just load it up.
Changpao, Xinhua, Daichan, Nippon. Translation. Welcome to my video about GMAT.
Well done.
Wow. It's so realistic. That's what I like about their games. Now, Tiny Build, didn't the same people who made Cluster Truck make Totally Accurate Battlegrounds?
No, but there's some kind of connection between the two of them. It's not like a
spiritual connection.
Maybe Tiny Build was the publisher, but they weren't the developer or something like that. But there is, because Cluster Trucks are in that game when you take off. Hey, you know what else? Speedrunners. They made Speedrunners, which is that fucking game that you and Kleitmans and Garbutt and Steve were.
Oh yeah.
Really?
They made that,
to.
Did they?
Yeah, as you, okay. They made. Actually, man, they made games like Hello Neighbor, Speedrunners, Cluster Truck, Guts and Glory, Party Hard, and Punch Club.
We've actually got a clip from Speedrunners, don't we?
I don't want to be the fucking unicorn. I don't want to be the. I want to be the shark. That's basically.
Listen, we all have set roles that we need to play.
Yes.
Okay. It gets confusing, especially in a heavy drinking session, if you don't know. If you keep changing people, and you're not as mentally acute as you normally are, there's going to be issues. So that's all I'm saying.
You won that game a lot. You're really good at that fucking game. And I could not wrap my head around it. I've only just, like looking at the ad, only just realized Speedrunners was that game. Like, I should analyze these ads more, but I'm like, Speedrunners. I've said this ad 13 times now, and fucking, it's been Speedrunners. Yeah. Anyways. That's that. Hey, can I segue into a note that I've got that I want to talk about?
Can you?
Yep. I'm gonna mention the guy because I can't imagine.
I keep saying this every time. You need a sound drop for when you're doing a really clunky segue, because then it sews everything together and it's a little gag that everyone gets involved in. GMAT, yeah.
I'll mention the guy. Actually, I'll mention him while we're here. But if you think it's inappropriate, I'll bleep it out. Because the guy's never going to watch the videos, and I hate him. So the week before last week, whichever the last podcast came out, we were talking about how we nearly had a radio gig, and you were like, oh, I didn't bring you, you didn't invite me to the meetings, and blah 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 blah. And I was pulling out some excuses about why I didn't. I remembered why I didn't invite you to the meeting.
Oh, now that you've had 3 or 4 weeks to make something up, what did you remember, quote unquote?
No, I didn't make it up. It just it all came flooding back in. I felt the last meeting I took you to prior to that, I felt bad about. I was trying to keep it, like, because you and I were creating this professional relationship, and the first professional meeting I took you to was not a reflection on my abilities to queue up meetings. So I was like, I'm going to go to this meeting with these old people at the radio station, which will probably be awful and trash. And if I don't bring Ben into it, then later on I can be like, oh, Ben, the meeting was great. It was, and you know, just lie to you basically so that you'll stick on board and you'll keep working with me. Mm.
That is how you've kept this relationship tethered. It's
just lying.
Purely through the string of lies.
So the first meeting I took you to, I won't say his name. Let's call him David.
David.
It's weird that we both came up with that fake name.
Let's not say his last name though.
I can't remember it.
I know it. Cause it's like,
of course you do.
It's like Charlie Chaplin or Donald Draper. His name's like that. It's
David
like,
Duchovny.
Exactly. Something like that. It's like David Dog. That's those great improv skills coming out.
Wow. Did you study theater for 3 to 4 years?
Four actually.
My God.
Let's play a game with the viewers at home. I'll talk about my experience of the meeting, and then you talk about the truth of how that meeting went.
It was a long time ago.
This is the first play. You wrote this play, and it was our first attempt at, I guess, writing. I mean, you'd probably written stuff before, but it was our first attempt at writing and then producing and putting on a play. And we went to this guy. I'd spoken to this guy and I said, look, we've got this play. You've got this nice space, this nice theater that I imagine is cheap because you own it. Maybe we could do some kind of thing, some kind of ticket splits because we don't have any money. We want to do like a ticket splits and maybe open up the bar and sell like that sort of thing. I was trying my hardest to find a theater who would put us up without asking for some crazy deposit on the actual theater,
yes,
which is usually like $3,500 or $4,000 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, that sounds like something we could do. Let's sit down and talk about it. And so he went to this meeting and we explained to him the plot of the play and everything we wanted to do, how many nights I wanted to run it for, you know, how long the play was, here it was, what, and he said, yeah, sounds great. You know, sounds good. We could definitely do it. 100% we will do it. Locked in. I do want to ask a favor of you though. I'm putting on a show soon. Maybe you guys could come.
That's right.
Maybe you guys could come be a part of this show. And
I forgot how slimy this guy was.
And you were like, I can't really do it. And I was like, but I will do it. Like I didn't want to do it, but I knew you weren't gonna. So I was like, I need to take this bullet. I was like, yeah, I'll do it. I'm done. I'll come and be in your show. Done deal. Mm-hmm. Hands shake. We go. I call back maybe 3 days later because he was supposed to email me with some details and something to sign or whatever. And I said, hey, we're pretty excited. We're gonna start rehearsing on whatever day. We've got a rehearsal space booked and all that sort of stuff. And he was like, hey, slow down, Matt, slow down. We haven't agreed on anything. I haven't said yes. I said it's a hard maybe at this point. And by your attitude about this whole thing, I really think you need to learn a bit more about the industry and understand, you know, how things work. I turned him down at that point. I said, all right, we won't work together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did you feel the meeting went?
Do you still have the email from him?
You talk about the meeting and I'll try and look it up.
Yeah, okay. So I'd forgotten a lot of that stuff, but as you're saying it, it's coming back to me. It's not that far off. The only bit that I think in my memory is different to what you said was... Yeah, you had corresponded with him a little bit before to set up the meeting.
Like two emails.
And during that, he was like, yeah, nah, I don't know. We don't really do that. But hey, come have a talk. And so he kind of flip-flopped on that. And then you got your foot in the door. So we drove all the way down there to fucking St. Kilda or Moorabbin or wherever it was.
You're right. He did. He was saying that it's probably a no-go, but come chat.
Yeah, he was really wishy-washy and you'd managed to turn him around. And that's how you persuaded me to go to the meeting. Like, look, I need you to come down to this thing because I've got him, you know, he's on the ropes. He's about to crack and he didn't want to do it originally. And this place will be so super cheap. And you're putting in so much effort breaking your back to get this thing going that I thought, it's the least I can do for you, really. You're putting in so much work. I could do something. So we went to this meeting. We go in there. We start talking to him and I feel like we were in there for a long time, but the first half of the meeting, in my memory, I can't remember a single word that was spoken, but it just feels like fluff. It was just fluffy nonsense. I think, wasn't he just bragging to us for ages?
That was your big problem with it, was that when we left the meeting, we were like, he talked for an hour about how good he is.
That was my impression of it, but do you agree that that's what happened? Was there a lot of that?
You remember that very anything. Accurately. That's very accurate.
It's vague, but accurate. All right. So, yeah, we went in there. He just told us about all these shows he'd put on and how amazing he was and how great the space was and how he built it up from nothing and how he was a drama teacher here and these how he'd... Oh, that's right. How he was asking
it's
people...
It's all coming back.
Yeah, it is. It certainly is. How much of a fucking twat this guy was. Wasn't he talking about getting people to, like, jump off rafters and shit and just saying they don't have the commitment to put their body on the line and potentially incur a workplace injury? Then they're really not... Their heart's not in it. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about, you mental patient?
He was talking about a specific example where he said to someone,
This is something that actually happened. It wasn't a vague scenario he was making up. This is something he did. Someone wouldn't break their leg for him, and he decided that they weren't the type of person he wanted to work with. And so we sat through all of that fucking wank because you kept, like, I could feel you next to me being like, don't say anything, just let him do his thing. And I was like, he knows this guy. He set up this meeting, so I'm just going to see what happens. So we sat there for what felt like a million years, and finally he got onto what we were doing. And then, suddenly he becomes fucking Trump and decides he wants to cut this deal with us. And it was, I remember this is the bit that I think is slightly different. It wasn't even B in the show. All he said was that he was looking for males to fill up the space while he was casting it. And maybe we get cast and maybe we wouldn't cast. So the deal was, all we had to do was, because we both played guitar and he wanted guitarists and singers and shit because it was this old Irish folky thing. Yeah. And then he'd be wanked on for about 20 minutes about the story of who gives a shit about this Irish fucking immigration thing. So he shits on about that. And then he's like, all I need from you, this is a really good deal I'm cutting you, boys. Okay, this is a great deal. These are fantastic deals. Very proud of these deals. You haven't seen something this amazing before, guys, okay?
He kind of was the Irish Trump.
Yeah. He's like, all you got to do is show up to the auditions, play some guitar, get a vibe going. If you don't want to be in the show after that, you don't have to be. If you want to be and you're cast, then that's great. You can do that. But all you have to do is show up to the rehearsals. And then, we can work something out with the space. That sounds good. I can give you a couple of weeks, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, all right. And you were like, look, I'm totally in with this. Totally fine. I'm going to do this. Yeah, it sounds great to me. Sounds like a great opportunity. Thanks heaps. Doing the Matt Arda dance.
I just had to. I was like, trying to fondle him a little bit. Trying to keep things, you know.
It's like, look, I don't really enjoy acting that much. And if you're going to make me do it, you're not going to get what you want out of a performer, especially considering you only work with people who are willing to break their legs for you. I'm not even willing to give 100% to the performance, let alone injure my own body. So that's probably not going to work for you. He's like, just come and play guitar at the rehearsal. I said, okay, I can do that for you, David. He said, fantastic. So we shook hands on that. And he's like, cool. So you've got the space. And then what happened was we gave him a draft of the script. And then we left. And he was like, great, cool. You sent him this email. And then he sent you his reply, which was, hold on a second, I didn't agree to anything.
Well, I've got a treat for you, Ben.
Oh, yes.
I found the email. So something else I wanted to, I was, that it got me, something you said before that had me thinking about something that he did that was really fucking annoying. I can't remember what it was. Anyways, I went to a transcript because they're quite fucking long. I'll kind of give a vague little thing. So I sent the email.
Well, you've got to read his verbatim because
I will, of course.
He's got to be able to defend himself.
My first one is, it's four paragraphs, like small paragraphs that I sent to him. It's like, hi David, it's Matthew out of here from this show that he was at his theater where we met. Blah, 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 talking about something, reason I'm contacting you is we have this script. The script runs for over an hour, blah, 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 blah. At the end, I tick it off with, Ben is a fantastic writer and I believe you'll truly enjoy our script, is how it ends.
What an endorsement.
That giant slab that I wrote got the response, that all sounds very exciting, Matt. Happy to discuss. Come down to the warehouse with your collaborator.
Okay, fair enough.
Fair enough, straight to the point. He's
a busy man. He's a very busy and intelligent man, as he told us many times.
Busy dude. I was happy with that. He saw my thing. We're straight to the point. Let's get down there and talk about it. I'm all right with that.
Yep. No arguments. Let's move on.
The next one or two is like, what days and times? Could do 7 p.m. Wednesday this week. Done. I just need a, yep, get down there. We're blah, 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 blah. Yep, all set. And I emailed him and said, g'day, David, just making sure we're set for tomorrow evening. And he replied, you know, yeah, see you then. Awesome. We do that meeting that we've talked about. Because he wanted us to actually send him a physical copy of the script. And so then after that, I hadn't heard from him. I sent him a message and he replied with, hi, Matt, I've read and enjoyed Ben's script. Have you had the chance to get in touch with some of the venues I suggested? So this is where he's starting to flip-flop a little bit. When he shook, the really important thing about all of this is that he shook our hands and we had a verbal agreement that if I showed up for that workshop for his show, he would do this for us. He would put us in for two nights or whatever it was. It was a verbal agreement. It wasn't written, but you know, we're in some fucking suburb in the Easts in a shed theater, you know. We fucking shook hands, agreed on something.
Yep.
And there was a lot of flip-flopping. And then he said, the more I think about it, this, I'm not going to say his venue because it's still a business that he's running. Ben's script, I think, sits somewhere between extended sketch and absurdist piece and would seem to be appealing to a university type audience who would love it. Oh, that's so condescending. It's like, what? He's like, my audience, and he's the kind of guy that wears a scarf and has long white hair. He's like, my audience would enjoy that. My audience is more into shows about classic historic characters who no one knows that you know did something weird, so I'm going to write a musical using the songs from Pink's new album. That's the kind of shit he does now, Ben. He does musicals about historical figures and then uses modern music.
Wow, that's genius, because what you're doing there is you're educating youth, but they don't even know that they're learning because you're using modern pop.
It's embarrassing.
What did he say? Extended sketch?
I think it sits somewhere between extended sketch and absurdist piece and would seem to be appealing to university type
audience. Yeah, well, that's kind of the premise, and that's basically what they say at the start.
He's got the idea of it, absurdist. But he's heavily under...
Well, I mean, it doesn't sit somewhere between those two things. They say we're in an extended sketch. Like, he's just taken what one of the characters said. I've analyzed it, and I think this is what's happening. Well, yeah, no shit, because it's what it says on the box. I think the show Friends may be about a bunch of friends. Yeah, no fucking shit, Dave.
We're just a tad older at this theater and want to attract a distinct demographic, a little beyond uni students, per se. If you're running a business and not having the goal to attract all demographics, you're a fucking snob. I'm getting so angry.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. Adult diapers? Do you really want to?
Everyone? This theater doesn't sell adult diapers. It's a theater where you put on performances for people. You know, you don't want to just attract one demographic, or your business is going to sink and not make any money, and you're going to have to constantly.
The funny thing about like community and small theater is you try to attract everyone, and you just get people 60 and up.
Mm. Yeah. No, not true. Not true.
Well, with community theater.
Well, when we did our shows, we attracted...
You know, the fringy stuff, you get a lot of different people, but the actual, like, week-in, week-out theater goers, it's an older crowd.
Fair enough.
Anyway.
Here's the bit you'll love. I'm still keen to support you both, in brackets, with no strings attached, so if you don't feel inclined to come to this workshop, that's absolutely fine. Actually, it was wrong of me to make that condition in the first place. So he's pointing out that he made that condition, you know, that we agreed on something and now he's falling back on it. As I really want
classic Irish Trump move.
Okay. Irish Trump, Irish Trump, that's his new name.
It's his name of the podcast.
He did offer, this is like he's doing something nice here, so we could talk about using the space for rehearsals free of charge.
Good on him.
And I'm like, okay. But obviously he knows he's flip-flopping or he wouldn't fucking offer that. He's trying to, and then I say, because I'm pissed off now, because I know it's not going to happen, so I don't really care. I say, I'm typing and retyping this email, unsure of how to respond to you, David.
Oh.
After we'd assured each other with committed trust and, oh my God. After we assured each other with committed trust and dedication to both projects.
Didn't retype it enough times, obviously.
No, it makes sense. We'd moved quite quickly. With a larger, we owed a bus of 45, blah, blah. Anyways. I was talking about touring to Shepparton. And from that, he said, Jesus, Matt, you did jump the gun a little, ! I thought you were asking for advice on how best you and Ben could get recognition for your work. Did you not listen? Did you not listen? Fucking. Did I not tell you that in the suburbs is not the place you need to be? I advised you to go away and think about the things I did say, and I was going to do the same.
Hmm.
Doesn't that fill you with a belly full of rage?
I don't really. I don't know whether I cared at the time either. I felt bad for you because you put in a lot of work and he was fucking us around.
I felt bad for you because I dragged you along to this thing and it was all, you know, it was looking good. I don't think I was being foolish. He made some promises and shook some hands and did some stuff and it seemed like he was down. I just put too much trust in a handshake. I put too much trust in someone's word and this old dude apparently, I don't know if he's so old that he just forgets all the things that he said or if he was spouting so much bullshit that he couldn't pinpoint any of the actual truths that he said, but he fucked us over.
He was a guy who just talks to hear his own voice a lot. Like that meeting we could have done in 15 minutes, but I feel like we were there for well over an hour.
Yeah, definitely. We were there for nearly 2 hours. Yep. It was getting to like 9:30. Like we'd got there at 7:30 or something and it was getting super, super late. And I was like, all right, but I felt like we were getting somewhere. I felt like we were going to get the result that we wanted, so we might as well stay.
So that is the most, I don't know, what would you call it? Forceful, I guess? Lack of a better word, forceful I've ever heard you be, I think.
What, in an email?
I think ever. Like, we talk shit and stuff a lot, but in a very serious conversation where, you know, you've let me down, there were these things that were agreed upon, very official Matthew Arda. That is... Because usually you're a very pleasant individual and you just kind of talk people around. So I remember when we were working on, when you were doing your solo show and you wanted me to play in the band and I was like, I don't know if I have the time, blah, blah, blah. I got the other side of it because usually I'm writing and directing and you're going to produce and act in it. And these deals just happen behind closed doors and you just come to me with the results. But when you were doing your solo show, you were doing the GMAT experience on me to try and get me in the show. And you're like, listen, I know what your capabilities are. This slot is sort of made for you. You're the only person who's going to fit in there. And the show's not going to work without you. And that's not pressure for you to feel like you're obliged to do it. But I'm just saying, if you could, that would be amazing because I know what you can bring to the show and it really will gel with what I've got going on and all this other shit. I'm like, my God.
Don't think I ever said
this
show.
This young man is amazing.
Don't think I ever said this show can't happen without you. That doesn't sound like something I would use. That,
look, but... I'm doing a very blunt version of all the undertones of what you were saying.
Basically,
there was a lot of like your capabilities. I don't have anyone else who could do what you need to do for this show to work sort of stuff.
I think you were saying
like there's a show that will work with even just me alone, but I have slots carved out for other people that will really elevate it to a real great piece.
You know what it was for you?
What?
I knew that there was a very small musical part that needed to be filled and the part you did was intricate and plucky. And I said, but it was a really small part and I didn't want to bring in a really, really good guitarist to play second guitar, basically. Yeah. And I was like, you're going to be uncommitted enough.
That's what it was. It was basically you towing the line of, this is really difficult stuff to play. You're very talented. We need you to do it. But also it's very low commitment. So it sort of fits you perfectly.
Exactly.
That's what it was.
I know you could do it. And that you wouldn't have to show up that much.
But that's the thing. It makes total sense now that you say it like that. But to come up with that sell and to know what your audience is and what's going to get them involved. To say to me, low commitment and you're great and you're the only one who can do it. And these are the parts and it's intricate. You'll have fun learning it. And also there's no commitment. But it's just very important. What better sell is there than
that? Just lay it out for you like that. What I should have said to him was... the show is about some fucking random Irish settler who was a female who couldn't be a pirate, so she dressed up as a man so that she could become one of the pirates.
Loves Nicki Minaj though.
Yeah, yeah, and we're gonna accompany that with the new Foo Fighters album. I like Foo Fighters.
On banjo.
Wish I didn't use that as an example.
Yeah, no, they're a good band. They are a good band, though.
So, yeah, there's
that. How did
this
story come up and why?
Because that was why I didn't want to bring you to the next meeting, because I was worried I was going to do that again.
Oh, bring you to meetings.
Yeah, because that first
meeting... And we got onto Irish Trump.
You know why I was so angry at him, why I was so forceful? It's because it was our first attempt at doing something, and I put a week of my life into getting that meeting and getting all that stuff happening. And then he turned around and not just said, nah, it's not happening, and flip-flopping, but he also made it out like it was our fault and that we weren't learned enough.
You'd misunderstood. Yeah. I think at the time I was kind of not annoyed about the whole thing, but he was the first person we'd given the script to as well. And as much as we were both under the impression that he was a bit of a knobhead, he still was a dude who was putting on theatre. And you said his shows were all terrible.
Mm.
But he took the script. So my impression of it was, as the person who wrote the script, being selfish and looking at it from my own point of view and how it affected me personally, was we walked in there, you'd set up a meeting, he was very open to the meeting. We sat down, we talked, he said, yeah, cool. We shook hands, I gave him the script, he went away and read the script and then said, no, you're not going to my theater. I never said you could use my theater, go elsewhere.
which he heavily undervalued the script. He was like, I don't think he got it. And he was like, no, this is for a university crowd. And I'm like, you're such a snob.
Yeah.
He's a Eastern suburbs snob.
Yeah.
All his stuff is so self-absolved and you could just see him jerking off his little dick into every script he writes. It's so, it's so fucking pompous.
Really kick this into high gear.
So that's no bueno. That's no bueno. So we're getting to the end, Ben.
Are we? How long have we been on for?
We've been on, it's like 50 minutes or so.
Oh, yeah. Solid.
You got any thoughts?
Have you got any intros from people now that you've actually put up the last two that we've done? And we said on both of those, I think, for people to send you in Woo G Matt Yay podcast intros. Has anyone sent anything in?
No.
What a dedicated fan base.
Just Luke. Luke sent me like three.
They're good?
Yeah, they're good. They're good. There's the, I can't play it now because I don't have it in the system. But I was going to do it.
In the system.
In the soundboard.
What have you got on the soundboard now?
None of them work because they're not actual sounds. All I've got is like the intro and stuff. So we'll stay away from that. if you do have an intro, and if you're listening to this podcast, if all 60 of you are listening to this podcast, there's 60 now. Did you know that? We get about 60 listeners a podcast.
It's funny that that's the number, because before when I asked how many people you had listening, you would always sidestep it.
Now it's 40.
Now that you're up to 60, you're like, yeah, that's totally a good public number.
It's because I made it. This is a passion project, Ben. This is a passion. I'm not, you know. I can pull back the curtain over here. This is the Howard Stern podcast. What's
the hierarchy of things? Like, you know how like Jack Black's in Tenacious D, but he's also an actor, and they ask him which one he likes more, and he's like, well, it's like kids. There's the one that you do for money, and the one that you secretly love more.
I like doing the YouTube videos, just as much as the podcast. But the YouTube stuff comes first, and that's like every 3 days. I can't miss a video. And the podcast is like, I can come over here and the small selection of the YouTube fan base that are over here are going to hear me talk about shit like, so I was doing that last video and then it wasn't funny, so I decided to just make something up and just lie or whatever. It's like, yeah, this is like...
How often do you talk about making content?
Really? That was a bad example. Now I'm just talking, I'm talking about how I'm being open and with the amount of people that are listening to the podcast.
Right.
I care less about... the stuff that we're putting out here let's say
someone comes up to you with a magic wand.
Yeah.
I don't know why they'd need a magic wand. That could just be some sort of internet code. Yep. And they say, all right, we'll give you 100,000 subscribers, guaranteed listeners / viewers / whatever, but you get to pick one. So would you take the 100,000 and everything else stops? Would you take the 100,000 on the podcast, the YouTube videos, or like streaming, or regardless of how much money they make, like they all will make the same amount of money for the same amount of views?
I'd probably take the podcast.
Really?
Yeah, because the podcast is very easy to make. It's very it's very fun.
The streaming is even easier because you just sit there and play video games.
Yeah, but then it's like I could still play video games if I'm doing a podcast. I'm making money from a podcast. I could finish the podcast and go play video games. But I can't play video games and make money and then go and make a little podcast for fun that gets my viewers if I have to select one. You know what I mean.
Okay.
And I've got ideas for the podcast in the future. If GMAT gets bigger,
ooh,
when we get views, stuff I want to do. you know. I want to
That's interesting.
There's two things I want to do with the podcast. I want to do a live podcast. Like, I want it to become a live podcast eventually.
Okay.
And I also want it to become a video podcast.
Ooh, a video element. Are you going to do it like a lot of them do, where they're all in different states or countries and you do the Skype thing?
No.
A computer, or like a Joe Rogan, blah, blah, in studio?
What? The dream, Ben. Here's the dream.
Oh, wow. Getting inside your head now. Yeah.
The live thing's easy. I could do the live thing the next podcast, but I kind of want to get, you know, 40 or 50 podcasts under my belt so I know that we can riff with the pressure of people actually listening live. Also, actually having people listen would be good. So I'm not going to start doing a live podcast until
that's,
we have...
That's down the line. That's way down the line.
Yeah.
Having
people
listen.
So that'll be later. But the video podcast, I want to have a place. I want to have like a studio. Or a booth, or even just a fucking room in my house where I can.
Don't you have a spare room? What happens in there?
Nothing.
So fucking problem solved.
It's about getting the people to come and do the podcast on camera, and I don't want it to look like a room. I want like a studio or a stage or something. Not like a big stage, but like.
Why don't you get the infamous Steve to, because he's a camera boy and does lighting and all that sort of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have to, the main thing for you will be like set dressing, because it's like, do you want it to look like Between Two Ferns, or do you want it to look like H3H3, where it actually looks like a studio type deal?
Yeah, something like that. Probably more like Rooster Teeth with like chairs and couches. So then there's like a few, I probably in the end want to do the video before the live thing, and then we could just do video podcast, release the audio podcast and release the video.
You know what? There really is something, I think, to the like the theater of the mind stuff. I find it hilarious. I don't know whether it's just me, what it's like for people who don't know you in real life, but the theater of the mind stuff about when you say Holly's outside the glass or like the cat's just stepped on your nuts or something. I find it super hilarious because I know that all of that stuff is actually true and happening because I've seen it happen. But for other people, it's real life is never as funny as what you can imagine. So like if you just give them the breadcrumbs and then they fill in the gaps, it's always gonna be way funnier than what's actually happening.
Yeah, but like you can listen to the podcast or you can watch the podcast. Like there's two.
Yeah.
Like there's options. There's,
yeah, I guess.
And I really want to do a video podcast. And talking about it out loud now, it'll probably be video before it's live.
Oh really?
Yeah, because it's easier to just record something and edit it and put it out than stream live video across the internet with, you know, shit happening. So what I need is I need at least like 3 or 4 microphones, like good microphones, not the microphones I'm using.
And you know what? I've got microphones. I've got at least one proper shock mount condenser mic.
Oh, I might need to buy that off you because I'm just getting sick of my microphone. But that's the future.
I mean, I've got a couple of other like SM45s, are they? I think I haven't used them in so long. I haven't done anything audio in so long. But I've got stuff. If you want to... You know what's weird? I've been to your house probably a bunch of times. I've only ever been in the lounge room on that side of the glass and to the toilet. I've seen the kitchen because you can see the kitchen through the zoo glass. But I've never been in your bedroom and I've never been in that spare room. Is the spare room the one that goes off the lounge room where it's just like there's a couch in front of the door?
There's a couch in front of the door? No, well,
last time I was there.
That's the sunroom.
What the fuck is the sunroom?
It's the room that's sort of on the outside of the building a little bit, and there's just glass to the. It's like a room that you can't really use as a room. It's got a concrete floor and it's right. It's mostly glass to the outside.
The sunroom.
The sunroom. It's like a.
Is it called the sunroom because it's the only one you open the curtains on?
No, it's called a sunroom. That's what they're called.
Okay. All right. Sorry, I'm not a hoity-toity Eastern suburbanite.
It's like a veranda with walls and a roof. Okay. Walls
what,
and floor.
What are the walls? Are the walls brick?
The side walls are brick. The front wall is glass.
Oh, make that the studio. How big is it?
It's not big enough for that.
Isn't it?
No, it's like 2 meters by 1 meter. Like,
oh, that's pretty small.
Very thin. I have a very small couch in there, like a 2-seater couch, and the door opens and hits the side of the couch, and then the other side of the couch is touching the wall.
Oh, that so fits into the ethos of your life.
I'll take a photo of it for you and I'll send it to you straight away after
put
this
it
podcast.
In the show notes.
All right, that's an hour. We need to end the podcast. All right. If you are listening to this podcast on anchor.fm, give it applause it. And if you're listening to this on iOS, subscribe to the podcast. It's probably the big thing. And go to the YouTube channel. I'm sure you're already there. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and like us on Fuckbook. Any last thoughts, Ben?
No, I'm glad we're back to form because the last one got me worried. I'd wondered whether we'd run out of all of our material.
We do apologize. This podcast is very ranty. It's very ranty. It's all story based, but I mean, that's the kind of content you're here for. That's the kind of fantastic new wave content that we're producing. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Say goodbye, Ben.
Goodbye.
I really wanted you to say goodbye, Ben.